Yes, the marriage retreat is coming up. Cheyenne and I have reserved our room and paid a registration, and so we're in. So we hope the rest of you that are married come as well. So we're talking about memory today. Do you have a good memory? Like what? What did he just say? We're talking about memory, and we're talking about what to remember when you're stuck. Ever been stuck where you keep doing the same regrettable thing over and over and over, and each time you promise yourself, I will not do that again, and you do it again? Or you tell yourself, I will remember to, and you forget again and again and again. What do you need to remember when you're stuck? We're talking about remembering when you're stuck today. We're also talking about remembering when you're self-righteous. I bet none of you are self-righteous, and all of you look down on self-righteous people. Like, I'm so much more humble than those self-righteous people. I don't think any of you want to be self-righteous. I don't think self-righteous is a goal. But I think there's part of us that it's real easy for us to look at stuff our parents are doing and go, why do they do that? I would never do that. We wouldn't say that part because that doesn't sound very humble, but we'd say, I'm so much smarter than that. I'll be so much better than that. We look at stuff our parents are doing and we say, I will not do that. We look at stuff our spouse is doing and go, what are they doing? Or why aren't they doing what they should be doing? We look at stuff our kids are doing and say, why are they getting this so wrong? I tried to get this so right. Why are they getting this so wrong? What do you remember when you're feeling self-righteous? What do you remember when you have tons and tons of regret over stuff you said, over stuff you did, over stuff you didn't say, or stuff you didn't do? So two ends of it here, self-righteous or wallowing in regret. What do you remember to keep you away from both of those poles, whether it's self-righteous or regret? We're talking about remembering today, and we're talking about remembering when you're stuck. We're talking about remembering when you feel pulled towards self-righteousness or towards wallowing in guilt. And we also have to talk about, okay, then how do you remember? Because we all want to remember, but we're all prone to forget. We come from a long line of forgetful people. How do we remember? So that's where we are today in the book of Exodus, chapter 12. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. So all of you that have had a little bit of geography know this is Egypt. The people of Israel, which is over here, which is actually the name of a guy named Jacob, that his name became Israel. They belong over here, but they ended up over here as slaves. And they're about to go free after 9 plagues. A 10th one is about to happen, and they're about to go free. And they are getting prepared. And God is saying, when you go free, you'll come down and you'll cross the Red Sea and you'll meet me at Mount Sinai. And then you'll go back to the land, and chances are you'll forget. Chances are this generation, when it gets hot and dry in the wilderness, they'll forget. They'll forget about the salvation and the deliverance. When they see the giants, they'll forget. Chances are the next generations, when they are living in the land and they're comfortable, they'll forget. Don't forget. But remember, this is about remembering. And God is going to say, remember, all right? And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, the land of Egypt, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. Why is that? Why are they starting over? Well, because they're about to go free. But God is saying, we're going to change your calendar so you don't have, maybe they had adopted the Egyptian calendar after being there for 430 years. They might be kind of Egyptian in their thinking. And God is saying, no, we're starting over. You're going to have a fresh start. And I'm going to find a way for you to remember. And it's going to be based in your calendar. Even your calendar will help you remember. This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you, so that you start out the year remembering. Tell the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, and I'll even pick a day to help you remember, so it's written on your calendar, so you don't forget, so you always remember. Every man shall take a lamb. So there's going to be a visual, tactile aid to help remember. Every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he shall take his nearest neighbor and shall take according to the number of persons. So they're going to share a lamb if they're too small to eat a whole lamb. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. So probably the moms would get together and say, well, there's two in my house, there's three in your house. Can we share, or should we share with someone else? But it would be figuring out how to make sure there aren't leftovers. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. So you're not going to go get the lamb that's blind, even though the lamb that's blind tastes just as good as the lamb that can see properly. You're not going to go get the three-legged lamb, even though the three-legged lamb tastes just as good as the four-legged lamb. You're going to go get the lamb without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. This word lamb could be translated lamb or is it you goat kid? That's what it is. It could be translated lamb or goat kid. But because the word lamb appears like 50 times in this chapter, they decided to just translate it lamb. So it can be from either the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Here's how long you get it on the 10th day, keep it until the 14th day, keep it for 4 days. When the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. So it's like, here's how I'm going to help you remember. All of you are going to do this together so that you all remember. You're all going to have these lambs for 4 days, and then you're all going to go and kill your lambs at the same time on the same night. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat. This will be a bloody feast. It will be bloody in the sense that they're going to have to try to catch, they're going to probably tie the lamb up before they slit its throat, and then they're going to have to catch the blood in a bowl. And then they're going to paint the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With the unleavened bread, the bitter herbs, they shall eat it. So there's two parts of this that will help them remember that I'm going to bring out. The first is the lamb and the blood. And we'll come right back to the lamb and the blood. But first, we want to talk about the unleavened bread for a second. So they would do unleavened bread and bitter herbs, they shall eat it. But unleavened bread will be the main thing rather than the herbs. So let's talk about unleavened bread. In his commentary on 1 Corinthians, Gordon Fee, who's a New Testament scholar, goes back and examines leaven, because in that passage it says, a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. And he said that's probably like a parable in the ancient world of a bad apple ruins the whole barrel. Like leaven would work its way through the whole loaf. If you're kneading it, leaven works its way through the whole loaf, just like a bad apple, the rot, will work its way through the whole barrel. Leaven consisted of keeping back a little portion of last week's dough. So if you were making dough, you wouldn't bake all of it at once. You would take some of the dough out and put it in a different container, and then it would ferment. And that is how you'd make the next batch. So you'll see this, which in turn was thoroughly fermented to give it lightness, like sourdough bread. So we're not talking about yeast, which would have been rare in the ancient world, but we're talking about, have you ever seen like the friendship bread, which you pass around this bag of fermented yeast and you look at that and go, really? You're going to make bread out of that? Yeah, it'll be great. Really? And then it's great. and that's kind of how it worked. Although the Old Testament does not expressly specify so, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that's what we're talking about today. You see that down here in 12:8, Feast of Unleavened Bread, as well as being a religious celebration, was probably a health provision. Because of the fermentation process, which week after week increased the dangers of infection. Imagine passing the friendship bread around every week for a whole year. Would you start to wonder if it was getting sketchy? The Israelites were commanded once a year to purge their homes of all leaven. And there he cites this passage, and we'll see it more concretely later on when we read in 14 through 20. During the feast of unleavened bread, they would bake only unleavened bread, from which the dough they would then start up the process again after the feast. Here's the thing with unleavened bread. Okay, so when we have the bowl and you see the bowl and you're thinking unleavened bread, where there's no leaven in this. So instead of this being leavened by the fermented bread from last week, it's only fresh stuff in here. That symbolizes a new start. That symbolizes a fresh start, a break with the past, and we're starting something new. So unleavened symbolizes a fresh start. Why don't you say that with me? Unleavened symbolizes a fresh start. Very good. So let's keep reading about how they would remember. Remember, they're going to remember with a lamb, and they're going to remember with unleavened bread, which is a fresh start. Do not eat any of it raw. We're not talking about the bread now. We're talking about the lamb, or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. They're not supposed to boil it because boiling it would take too long. And the idea is you're going to eat this quick because salvation is coming. And you shall not let any of it remain until morning, because it's holy and because you're having your faith that God will provide for you on your way out. Anything that remains until morning, you shall burn. In this manner, you shall eat it, with your belt fastened and your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. So are you supposed to eat this meal ready for bed? No. How are you supposed to eat this meal ready to run? And run fast, because salvation is coming. And they're to remember, as they eat this meal, God's salvation and how he saved them from the Egyptians. It is the Lord's Passover. Now, if you might want to underline, I'm not underlining every time because there's other stuff I want you to remember, but you might underline every time you see Passover, those two words spaced apart, because you're going to see them again and again. It is the Lord's Passover, for I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. What we talked about last week is God is scary just, and God is exacting justice on the Egyptians for what the Egyptians did to the Israelites' male children as they would throw them in the Nile. They were killing all the Israelites' male children. And God is now exacting judgment on the Egyptians. And the Israelites are to remember when they celebrate Passover how God spared them but exacted judgment on their enemies. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Whose blood will it be? The blood of the Passover lamb. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I shall strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a what? What's that say? A memorial day, so that they will remember Because God wants them to remember. This is about remembering. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. And you shall keep it as a feast. How long are they supposed to remember? Forever. Throughout all your generations. The idea is you're going to pass this down from one generation to the next so that you do remember forever. And how about I give you a feast that you feast with to remember? 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Okay, we're back to talking about unleavened bread rather than the Passover lamb right now. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And unleavened bread symbolizes what? A fresh start. On this first day you shall remove all the leaven from your houses. For if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. So should you eat leaven? No, no, if you do, you will be cut off from Israel. On the first day, you shall hold a holy assembly. Like, get everyone together so you all remember. On the seventh day, a holy assembly. So you all remember, one to mark the beginning of the feast, one to mark the end of the feast. No work shall be done on those days. Not that there's anything bad with work, but the work is not designed to help you remember. You can have a hard, long break where you only eat crackers, because you don't have any leaven. You're used to rich, awesome sourdough type bread. You're used to fluffy, wonderful, warm bread. And for a whole week, you eat crackers. And that kind of helps you remember. That kind of makes an impression on you. Makes it harder to forget. Mom, we have to have crackers again. Why can't we have bread? She's remembering. With Passover, feast of unleavened bread comes a fresh start. But what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared before by you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Unleavened bread, bringing them out, fresh start. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. On the first month, the 14th day, of that month until evening. Here's how to remember. This is where it should go on your calendar. First month, 14th day of the month at the evening. You shall eat the unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. Always remember, keep it on your calendar. For 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Why does he keep repeating himself? So they remember. Because we're a people that's prone to forget. So he says it to them a couple times. Don't eat leaven. Remember, you have a fresh start. Whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land, it doesn't matter who you are. It applies to everyone. You shall eat nothing leavened. I can't figure this out. Are they supposed to eat leaven or no leaven, right? Remember, fresh start. And in your dwelling places, you shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans. So they would go and they would get the unblemished, perfect, spotless lambs and kill the Passover lamb and take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. And touch the lintel and the two doorposts, the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the house, out of the door of his house until morning. So they were to get the lamb. I'm sure they had a different bowl. They'd kill the lamb and the blood would be spattering everywhere. And they'd fill up the bowl and they'd get the hyssop, which grew everywhere. And they'd dip the hyssop in the blood and they'd put the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel and on the other doorposts, and there'd be a lot of blood. You know, the Israelites haven't been asked to do anything up to this point. Moses comes, and Moses and Aaron talk to Pharaoh, and the Israelites just stand there kind of scared, watching and waiting and seeing what will happen next. Now they've been asked to do something. Been asked to hide behind the blood. For the Lord will pass through and strike the Egyptians. When he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. And this makes us stop and say, is it the Lord who's doing the destroying, or is it the destroyer who's doing the destroying? Much thought has gone into this, and wise people disagree. The answer that I seem to think is right is that this is probably the angel of the Lord. God himself, and being represented by the angel going and doing the destroying, but the text doesn't say. And what we know is that people that were behind the blood, that were hiding behind the blood, were safe, and people who are not hiding behind the blood were not safe. At bottom, that's what we know. You shall observe this rite, so you remember. As a statute for you, so you remember. And for your sons forever, so that you always remember. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, because the danger is that when you come to the land, you'll forget. Maybe that you won't forget, but that your sons will forget. And when you come to the land the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? Like, why are we doing this thing with the Passover and the unleavened bread? And why are we doing this? And you shall say, it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt. When he saw the blood, and they were hiding behind the blood, he passed over. When he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. And the people of Israel went and did so, as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. If I could sum up this in one word, what God wants is God wants us to remember. He wants us to remember like he wanted them to remember. He wanted them to remember that he was about to save them, that he himself was about to save them. It's not that they saved themselves, but that he saved them and brought them out of the land of Egypt. And he made them his own people. And he wants them to remember when things start going very right and they start not being slaves anymore, but having lands and fields and houses, and they become prosperous. He wants them to remember then, when they're in their land, how he saved them. How'd they do at remembering the Lord's salvation? Not great. How do you do? How do I do at remembering the Lord's salvation? I think of times where you and I might pray, Lord, please give us whatever it is that we're praying for, and I'll serve you forever. And then God gives us that at one point or another, and then what do? We forget. Or we get baptized, and we come out of our baptism, and we think of all that God has done in our life leading up to this baptism, and we think, I will never forget this. And what happens? We forget. Or when we receive communion and we're thinking about all that God has done and we're thinking about how he has forgiven us for our sins and we're thinking, I will never forget this. And then what happens? We forget. It is easy for us to forget. It is natural for us to forget. It is going against the grain for us to remember.
This is true of the people of Israel. It's true for us that we are prone to forget. And so the Lord, because they had forgotten his salvation and because they had forgotten what he had done and they're serving other gods, he brings them into exile and they end up over in Babylon. And Babylon would be like way over here on the other side of the desert. And eventually they come back to the land and they live in the land and they're still not great at remembering. But at the time of Passover, they were celebrating Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. At this time of Passover, Jesus comes to Jerusalem. And celebrates the Passover feast. And that's what I would like to talk to you about. The Passover feast and how Jesus celebrated this. After we sing, "O Come to the Altar." So I'd like to invite the praise band up. And I'd like to sing with you, "O Come to the Altar." As we think about the Lord's Supper here and how he saved us. So as we sing, "O come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide, forgiveness is bought with the precious blood of Jesus." We want to think about how the Lord's Supper helps us remember.
Would you stand, please, and sing with us? Open your hearts to the Lord as we prepare our hearts for... Yes, the men, the communion men. Deacons, please.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from a well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar.
Savior.
forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. As you wait for the crown, tell the world of the treasure you found.
Amen. Be seated, please.
At this time, we're going to pass out the elements, but I'd like to begin by asking my brother Mel. To ask the Lord's blessing on the bread.
Dear God, thank you for this opportunity we have to stand before you and remember the blessing. Help us to take this bread, and as we take it and eat it, we remember what you've given to us. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
As the communion is served, we invite you to sing, but stay seated where you are. Open your hearts and pray, or sing with us if you would like to sing along. Team, come back up.
You came from heaven. Acquainted with our sorrows, to trade the debt we owe, your suffering for our freedom, the Lamb of God in my place, your blood poured. My sin erased, it was my death you died. I am raised to life. Hallelujah, the Lamb of God. My name upon your heart, my shame.
Thank you. The Lamb of God took my place. As you think about remembering and you think about Jesus sitting at the Last Supper, at Passover, at the time when the Passover lamb was killed, as you think about this, how was he helping them remember? Well, as we've said, he helps us remember that he has provided us a fresh start. As he says to them, this bread is my body. This unleavened bread, if leaven becomes a picture of sin, my sinless body is broken for you. If they, back in Israel, remembered unleavened and going a week without any leaven and having all the leaven cleansed out of their homes, if that helped them remember that this was a fresh start, how does Jesus' body broken for us remember that we have a fresh start? Well, it helps us remember the very good news that it is not up to us to save ourselves, but he came and allowed his body to be broken and his blood to be shed for our sins. So it's not just that you're to remember, I have a fresh start, I shouldn't live in Egypt anymore. I shouldn't live in my sin and in my darkness anymore. I heard one person say, the point of unleavened bread was not so much whether or not God could get them out of Egypt, but whether or not God could get Egypt out of them. Right? That we have a tendency to go back, and we have a tendency to go back to our bad old ways. And with a week of unleavened bread, God is helping them remember, this is something new. You have a fresh start. And Jesus is saying, this is my unleavened body for you. You don't just remember, don't go back to the bad old ways. You remember, I am part of the body of Christ. I am in the body of Christ. And because his body is unleavened, I am unleavened. Because I am in him and he is in me, God sees his righteousness when he looks at me. I am in him. This helps us remember we have a fresh start in him. It helps us remember that it's not just up to us, but it's him and his righteousness working in us. So if you receive this bread, remember, you're receiving a fresh start. For I receive from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And you might right now break your piece of bread and think about how Christ's body was broken utterly, entirely for your sins and for mine. On the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I'm supposed to transition now and talk about the cup. I don't want to run past. He's offering you a fresh start. It might be that your past has defined you for a long time. Stuff you said, stuff you did, stuff you didn't say, stuff you didn't do, this is his body broken for you. It's a fresh start. That he provided for you when we were dead in our sins. He provided this for us. Something he offers you. He provides us a fresh start. That's how they were to remember this. As they left Egypt, there was no going back. Don't go back. It's a fresh start. It's a new day to serve God. He also provides a substitute as the lamb, as we sang about fresh start there. He provides a substitute as the lamb dies in their place. And this is what we'll sing when we sing In Christ Alone. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. Think of God's wrath against Egypt for all the innocent lives of his people that had been killed. And God's wrath had built up and built up and built up. And God, seeing the death of the innocent for so long, says, I'm coming. And the only thing that will keep you safe is the blood. The blood. Make sure the blood's on the door. Make sure you're behind the blood. And of course, this is fulfilled in Christ. As we don't try to face God's wrath and God's judgment and his righteousness on our own, but we make sure we're hiding behind the blood. I mean, would anyone here say you're fine with standing before a righteous, holy God? I think not. I think we all need to stand behind the blood. We'll sing, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ, I live. This is what the Lamb had pointed towards as the Lamb died in their place. And its blood was shed in place of their blood. So Christ dies in your place, in my place. And his blood is shed to spare you and spare me. This is why there's no room for self-righteousness and us to say and see ourselves as better than other people, or more righteous than other people, or more holy than other people, because his blood had to be shed for you too. This is why there's no room for you and I to cling to past sin and past guilt. Because it was nailed on the cross. And because he has covered it with his blood. He has provided a substitute. Rest in him. I'd like to ask my brother Terry to ask the Lord's blessing on the cup.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you thanking you so much for your love that sent your Son to die on the cross for us, even when we didn't deserve it. Lord, may we just remember, even after this communion service, that sacrifice, Lord. May we not just remember once a month, but all year long. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Ground firm through the fiercest drought and storm.
Christ is our substitute. His blood for our sins. His life for our life. He died our death that we might have his life. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." God wants us to remember that he provided us a fresh start, that he provided us a substitute, and that he provided a way for us to remember. It's important, I think, to remember all the times he says, "And this will be a holy assembly." Remember all those? "And this will be a feast." And remember this day on this month. And remember this day on this month. Remember 7 days, no unleavened bread. Remember, remember, remember all the ways you can remember. Because if you just say, "I am going to remember, I will not forget," but you don't make a plan, you're going to forget. You need a plan. You need a way to remember. And so he gave them an annual calendar to help them remember. And you know, we have an annual calendar that helps us remember. We have Christmas, where we celebrate Jesus coming. And we have Good Friday, where we remember his death. And we have Easter, where we remember his resurrection. We have an annual calendar. We have monthly reminders as we celebrate the Lord's Supper every month. We also have weekly reminders as we celebrate the Lord's Day on Sunday, the first day of the week, every week. We also have a midweek reminder. On Wednesday nights, we come together for Awana and Bible study. In youth group, we have a midweek reminder. We also have daily reminders as we're daily in the Word. I want you to remember, but remember to have a plan to remember. Do you need to defend your plan to remember? Is it the daily plan to remember that you need to remember? And work on connecting with God on a daily basis? Is it a weekly plan to remember? It is so, so very easy to not make Sunday morning a priority. It is so easy to get caught up in the busyness and the worries and the troubles and the sprinting of life and forget. In the Lord's Supper, we want to make this and keep this a priority as a way to remember. How will you remember to remember? I think you want to be people that remember, because I think you want to be people that live with a fresh start. You want to be people that are not self-righteous and not wallow in guilt, but people that have been atoned for, people that are living forgiven lives, people that live free of their sin because of their substitute, and you want to be people that remember to remember. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus coming, fulfilling all of the promises of the Old Testament, dying for our sins, and raising to newness of life to give us new life. Lord, help us remember to remember. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
At this time, we'll take a benevolent offering. While the team sings, we'll invite you to stand when we get a little bit ways through it, but this is used to help those who are in need in our community. So let us sing for you while this is taken.
One like
Remember when we hear the story of God's own word, precious Lamb of glory, beautiful song, sing with us.